Welcome to Crime in Plastic, a gripping podcast where I, Dr. Miami, one of the world's top plastic surgeons, and my co-hosts, Santina and Rosie, delve into the often unseen world where true crime and plastic surgery intersect.
Each week, Dr. Miami will share his expertise and insights into the complex world of cosmetic procedures, while Santina and I give you the shocking details of criminal investigations.
From notorious criminals undergoing drastic transformations to evade the law, to even our own personal encounters with true crime and plastic surgery, all will be uncovered.
So sit back, relax,
or don't,
because this is Crime and Plastic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Crime and Plastic. How's everybody doing today?
Fantastic.
I'm doing all right.
What about you, San Rizzle?
Ditto.
How's the skin journey going? It looks better.
It looks better, but it could be better.
You're putting on the creams, though, every day?
It's only one cream.
A cream? Okay.
And I have been religious about it, but I'm supposed to be taking it with metronidazole, and I haven't been able to complete the course because it's 3 pills a day. And that seems excessive.
You shouldn't drink on that, too.
Well, I didn't start. I started the metronidazole late because I was planning on drinking this weekend. And then Saturday, once I had stopped drinking, I decided to take it. And that day, I ate seafood boil. And I ate a lot. And then I went home. And I shit my pants. And then I threw up.
Nice.
And so...
You're not so eager to take that medicine anymore.
No.
I don't know.
Was it the drinking or the seafood boil, you think, that upset your tummy?
I think the medicine with the seafood
upset your tummy.
The whole thing together?
Yeah.
It was a lot.
I don't know. Metronidazole usually stops diarrhea.
It was chunky. Like
usually it's good for diarrhea.
I don't know.
It was really chunky.
She could just be sick.
What did you...
No, I felt completely better after I shit my pants and threw up everywhere.
How? I always feel better after that too. Were you at Ultra this weekend? Where were you doing this weekend?
Yeah, I went to Ultra. I went to Ultra only on Friday though.
How was it?
Pouring.
Who'd you see?
I have no clue.
Okay.
I saw you did wakeboarding. How was that?
That was good. I was obviously really talented. And
you're always talented.
I actually
talented.
Cannot get on the wakeboard. It took me a long time and I still couldn't get on it.
Do you know why? They say that girls are better at wakeboard or the beginning at wakeboarding.
Because their butts?
No, because wakeboarding.
Center of balance to the back.
To get up, you're supposed to like bend your knees close to your chest and then keep your arms like fully in front without bending them and then allow the boat to lift you. But men like try to use their muscles to lift up and so they end up falling.
Yep.
And the women are just like,
all right, chilling.
I'll let the boat take me. It really boils down to, can you follow instructions?
I agree that women follow instructions better than men.
So it was really good.
Fact.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun, but the river was freezing. And then every time I would fall, I would be scared that like an alligator was going to kill me.
Yeah, I've been there.
That's scary. Were you sore afterwards? Was it like a workout?
Yeah, my entire upper body was like super sore.
You had a fun weekend, though. Any weekend that ends with pooping your pants and throwing up
is a good weekend.
Good weekend.
All right. Do we have any news today?
We do. This is a story. It happened like apparently it began like 6 months ago. I don't know how we missed it. How, you know, I'm very diligent with checking for plastic surgery news stories. This probably warrants an entire episode at some point in the future.
So just say it briefly then.
Flor de Lama Roque went to Guatemala for plastic surgery and never returned.
How come?
She went missing. She went alone for plastic surgery. They have video of her checking in. They have video of her at the clinic. And then they actually have video. The doctors supposedly have video of her leaving. And they say they never heard from her again.
What kind of surgery?
It didn't say in the article, but bandages on her face. So obviously, at least the doctors claim that this is her. Daughter says this is not her, the picture of this lady with bandages on her face. But apparently later that night, the doctors and staff were seen acting weird, taking out large garbage bags. So they were arrested and are currently being detained.
So they think the doctors killed her and then covered it up?
That is what they're saying. But the thing is, the United States, it's hard for them to get involved in another country's investigation. And obviously the parents are, I mean, the family is just you know, mm-hmm. beside themselves.
But she's a U.S. citizen?
U.S. citizen.
When did this happen?
This happened like 6 months ago. Yeah, she's 59 years old, and she lives in New York. She went to Guatemala on June 13th. Never seen from the morning of the surgery onward. And they weren't arrested until July. And now their investigation is still going on. Just made the papers here.
Maybe she didn't want to come back. Maybe she was going to get plastic surgery to change her looks and disappear.
Maybe she committed like a really bad crime and was running away.
Doesn't sound like a 59-year-old caretaker kind of thing to disappear.
I don't know.
And not tell her daughter.
Yeah, it's weird.
But, I mean, they're investigating the doctor and the staff at the clinic. Mm-hmm. They think that maybe something happened and they just...
There's some foul play going on.
Yep. So that could be an episode.
Yeah, I will keep an eye on it. So today, did you have something else to say?
No, I mean, I was going to talk about Megan Fox talking about her plastic surgery this week on Call Me Daddy.
Call Her Daddy.
Oh, sorry, on Call Her Daddy.
Yeah.
Yes. What did she say?
She admitted to all the things she had done, which is not that much, actually.
What did she have done?
Her nose, all in her early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then Botox and fillers and that sort of thing. But no other body work, et cetera. Okay.
That's not what she said.
I'm sorry. What'd she say?
Like usual, you only do half the research. She said there's a third thing that she's gotten done.
Oh.
That she's gatekeeping because it's almost too good. She doesn't want to tell anyone what it is.
She did say that.
What do you think it is?
She did say, but I couldn't figure out what it was. So in my mind, I'm like, eh, what the hell, bullshit.
I think it's arm lipo.
Arm lipo is the best lipo. What else could...
She said people don't really know it exists.
Like, who doesn't know it exists? That's what threw me when she said, it's something people don't know exists, but it's like the best thing she ever did.
Yeah, arm lipo or chin lipo are pretty underrated lipos.
They are. They do under the radar.
Is there some maybe new secret machine that we don't know about that does something special?
No, she made it sound like it was a procedure, not like an injection or something, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. I stand corrected, but she's 100% right. She did say she had something else, but she wasn't going to say what it was.
This week, my intern, David, has returned. Yay.
Half-dressed.
He ditched us last week.
I'm not half-dressed.
Why are you always half-dressed?
I'm not half-dressed. I'm allowed to wear a tank top and I'm allowed to wear shorts. That doesn't make me half-dressed.
24/7.
Yeah. What's wrong with it?
No, it's fine. No, it's good.
It's giving Chet Hanks.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Chet Hanks is?
Nah, who's that?
I heard terrible rumors about Tom Hanks over the weekend on Twitter. I hope they're not true.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, sorry. I'd like to keep him on a pedestal.
I didn't see or hear anything, and I don't want to know.
Yeah.
So this is a little interesting case from 1998. Clint Hallam is in 1984. He was put in jail for writing bad checks and fraud. And then he was in prison doing work. He climbed a ladder with a saw on a building site in a prison. And then he fell and he found himself sprawled on the floor minus a hand. He was taken to the hospital with a severed limb. The surgeon stitched it back on, but it had lost all sensation and dexterity and was eventually cut off.
Yep.
Then Hallam was given a prosthetic substitute. He was from New Zealand, by the way. He's a New Zealander.
This all happened in New Zealand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, this initial part. He was given a prosthetic, and he didn't like it. When he got out of prison, he started scouring the world for surgeons who would give him a hand transplant.
Oh.
So for years, he had one fixed idea. I'm going to get a transplant, he says. And he was prepared to go to the ends of the earth to meet the team capable of giving him a hand.
You know, that is a new operation. Like, hand transplant,
He's the first one.
No way.
So
he was a criminal?
The criminal.
A felon?
Yes. Wow. So, and why this is
I know
he's
why.
He's a criminal.
I know why.
Why?
So he can forge checks with his hand. He needs to sign.
I was going to say why this is a crime of plastic, because hand transplant surgery falls under the...
100%. That's a plastic surgeon.
It's a plastic surgeon's job.
In fact, I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but a plastic surgeon won the Nobel Prize for the first kidney transplant.
Yes.
The first human organ transplants.
Yes. So then in 1998, he finally convinced doctors in Lyon,
Is it Italy?
No, in France.
Oh, France.
In France.
Oh, Lyon with a Y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they should attempt a transplant. The 14-hour operation was performed by French, Australian, British, and Italian doctors. It involved separating and splicing bone, muscle, tendon, and nerve from the right hand and forearm of a brain-dead French motorcyclist. So how do they do that?
Pretty much how it sounds.
But how do they, I mean, it's hard to get a hand that matches your other hand, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't.
So it's just like you have a hand that works, and but it just looks different than your other hand?
Well, if it works, that's a great thing too. So, here's the thing. Okay, so the muscles that work the hand are mainly actually in the forearm.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you, when you do this, when you like run your fingers like that, do that, yeah, right? You'll notice that the muscles all move in the forearm,
mm-hmm.
not really in the hand. They're only tendons that go to the bones, but the muscles that control them are all in the forearm. So okay. If you have a hand, if these muscles are working and you can just get new tendons to go to a new hand, you'll have pretty decent dexterity. You might not have a great opposition of the thumb,
mm-hmm.
but theoretically, if you can get the nerves to grow back into the mm-hmm. base of the thumb muscle there, you can also get opposition, but you can also get sensation. But it takes like a whole year for the nerves to grow back.
The surgery was deemed a complete success, and Halam woke up expecting to find life had returned to normal. He was quickly disillusioned. He discovered the immunosuppressants that were designed to prevent rejection of the hand caused diarrhea that made him shed weight at a rate of 4 pounds a day.
Damn.
A loss that was offset by the pounds he put on as a result of contracting diabetes from this drug regime. Do anti-rejection drugs make you get diabetes?
They can. They're super strong. What year was it, by the way?
This was 1998.
Yeah. So the drugs have gotten somewhat better. But yeah, the anti-rejection drugs are super powerful. That's kind of why for so many years we didn't try these more advanced transplants for non-vital organs mm-hmm. because of the rejection medications and the side effects.
Right. So then he said that it left him feeling more handicapped than before. And on top of that, he was later seized by the police because he stole 20,000 pounds from a French liver transplant patient who became his friend while he was getting his hand transplant surgery.
Oh, jeez.
So.
Wait, what? So he took 20 racks from his friend?
Yeah. Who was recovering for the liver transplant.
They were in the transplant ward together and he stole money from him because he's a thief.
Yeah. He sounds like a bad apple.
And then. He was still being pursued by police in Australia for all this like theft, like having fake stolen credit cards, writing bad checks. In New Zealand, he was still wanted for financial stuff. So you would think, you know, having this new hand with different sets of fingerprints and everything would be a plus. But he said...
Didn't even occur to me, but yes.
But he didn't like it because of the anti-rejection medicine and because the two hands looked different. Like one was...
Did it work though?
It worked.
That's
but it,
pretty cool.
But he said he was tan. The other hand was like pink and he just didn't like the way it looked and he stopped... and because of this, he stopped taking the immunosuppressants.
Oh no.
And he also said he didn't want to pay for the anti-rejection drugs. He said it was like 10,000 pounds a year.
It's expensive.
To pay for that.
But he wanted to just use the 20,000 pounds he stole from his friend to pay for his meds.
So then his body started rejecting the hand. And he got some funding for a private donor. And they actually amputated this hand, his hand transplant.
How many years did he live with the new hand?
1998 to 2001.
It's not a lot of years.
How many hand trans? They said they had done six in the 3 years that he had this hand.
Yeah, I think they've done more.
Is it? Doesn't sound like a common thing though.
It's not a common thing, but it's done.
Why?
After that, they started doing face transplants. That was like the next thing.
Right. Well, I mean, I think they've got a lot better at the prosthetics too.
The prosthetics have gotten better, but they're not really functional. They just look good.
Right.
But they're working on, you know, like Neuralink and all these fancy
Spider-Man
companies are coming with ones that are supposed to actually, you know, attach to your nerves so you can use your mind to control it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was just a short little story, but I thought it was interesting because it was, you know, guy, criminal, got a hand transplant. I don't know why they gave him the first hand transplant.
That is a good question.
But they did. And then he didn't like it and got his hand cut off. And then I think I read he was actually trying to get another one after.
Chutzpah.
But I don't know where he is now because it's.
That's got some gall. No, look.
26 years ago.
When it comes to amputations, whether it's a hand, a leg, whatever, there is like the American Society of Hand Surgery has replantation guidelines,
mm-hmm.
right? And one of them is psychiatric health.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be psychiatrically sound. Forget the rejection medications, just to even have your hand put back on.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're suicidal or you're any mental issues, you have to comply very well with the rehabilitation protocol, with the mm-hmm. medications, et cetera, et cetera. So how much more so for a transplant?
Right.
Yeah. And I can tell you a really gross, icky, horrible story.
Okay.
About when I was in residency and my hand surgery rotations, Santino. Wait till you hear this. You won't forget this one. There was a guy, he was not all there. He was having some mental issues.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard voices, and the voices told him to cut his arm off, cut his hand off, mm-hmm. because it was evil. So he took a knife and he cut his arm off. And he did it. His family was around, so they immediately got the hand, immediately brought him to the emergency room, kept it on ice. Surgeons worked for like 12 hours to put it back on. Unky dory. They got him a suicide watch sitter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, again, when there's mental issues and it's self-inflicted, the guidelines say you're not supposed to try to put the hand back on because of this story.
Oh, wow.
The sitter, he was on suicide watch and self-harm watch. The sitter fell asleep for a second. The guy woke up, ripped his own hand off again.
Oh, wow.
Was squirting, pulsing blood from his arteries, waving it at the sitter like a weapon. Security came and he was waving it, you know, waving it and then bled to death.
You were there?
Well, I was on call.
Oh, wow.
I got there after. So, yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
That is crazy.
So how do you just rip, like, because of...
You just rip it. What's holding it together?
You can't do it. I can't do that.
No.
It was sutured on.
Just have to, like, you know, it just sutures, you know? We had... you probably had, like, one little plate and screw to hold the bone steady or something, but definitely rippable.
Well, apparently. I mean, he did
it. He did it, and then he. But the thing is the swinging your arm around as like a hose to keep people back.
It's a cool way to
but
go out.
But he didn't want to kill himself. He just didn't want the hand.
Well, maybe.
Hmm. Okay.
Anyway, so So the point is that when it comes to transplants and replantation, you know,
it's complicated.
It's complicated. It's not so straightforward.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna end it here. This is just a short little story. Next week, we'll have more, and thanks for tuning in, as always.
I want to know what happened to that lady in Guatemala.
Okay, I'll try to find out.
Okay.
We'll try to find out for next time.
Have a great week.
Have a great week, guys. Bye.
Stay beautiful.
Bye.